You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
I am excited about this because I love marathons. That's what we're doing this week. We're doing marathons. Top five episodes of Star Trek Voyager that you would like to watch in a lazy Sunday afternoon. And this week, we're talking about Janeway, the best Janeway episodes to watch. Now, it's not necessarily, I shouldn't say best. It's not what we think are the best or what we think are our favorites, but what we think are good Janeway episodes to watch in one day. But before we get into that, I have a little personal news.
Ooh.
It's podcast related. And
oh, okay.
For some of you might know this. For those of you who don't, I'm glad I'm talking to you. My wife and I, aka the girl, started her own show.
Yeah, this is so cool because I loved what you did when she guested on the Nerd Party. You guys talked about X-Files and I think Walking Dead, correct?
No, that's what this episode, that's what our first, that's called,
it's called
Nerd Nuptial because we're nerds and we're married and we thought it was funny. And so it's called Nerd Nuptial and the first episode is about The Walking Dead. But you're right, the episode that she guested on the Nerd Party was about the X-Files revival, and we got so much positivity from her guesting on the Nerd Party that everybody was clamoring for more of my wife on the show. And so I was able to convince her to start her own show.
I can't believe that you convinced her to do this either, because for the longest time she resisted doing any podcasting whatsoever, and then she does the Nerd Party and guests on it and does an amazing freaking job. I loved hearing the girl's voice and getting her input on the X-Files revival. And I'm so excited that you guys are doing a show now because I just can't wait for more. I want more of the girl. I'm one of those people clamoring, more girl, more girl.
That's literally what they were saying. That's what people were saying. They're like,
yeah,
more girl. Like, actually, there's a person at my work who listens to my stuff. And she came up to me and she said, I'm going to make a t-shirt that says, I'm here for the girl. And
nice.
It was just so funny. Yeah.
Okay. So get me in touch with that person. I want to get a t-shirt.
Yes. And so everyone, please go to thenerdparty.com. And from there, you can find Nerd Nuptial. You can find us on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere where you can find podcasts, you
everywhere.
Can find us.
Yeah. Just like us on Trek FM, right?
Yeah. It's just like on Trek.fm. You can find us anywhere. And also, because I guess since this is dropping on Thursday, I can make this announcement to other people. The Nerd Party is no longer just a show. It's now a full-blown network.
What?
Yeah, that's right. This, like, we have three shows now. So we've rebranded Nerd Party to be the Senate Floor. So that's the show that Matt Hansen and I have. Then we have my wife and I's show called Nerd Nuptial. And some of you might know this show, and if you don't know the show, you should. Aggressive Negotiations is now a part of the Nerd Party network.
Boom! How about that? So now the Nerd Party is a full-fledged network. Wow!
It's a full-fledged network. Yeah, the Aggressive Negotiations is a Star Wars podcast hosted by our own Matt Rushing and John Mills.
Well, they sound kind of familiar. Yes. Right on. That's very good news.
If you're a Trek.fm fan, you should be a Nerd Party fan. So please do me a favor because I love you guys as much as you love me. And please go to thenerdparty.com and find, that's where all your Nerd Party needs are fulfilled.
Very good. Well, congratulations. I'm very excited for you.
Long shameless plug over.
Fair enough. Well, that's very exciting news and I'm very happy for you. And congratulations on running your own full-fledged network at this point.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Voyager and Janeway, you mentioned to me in the mess hall before we were recording that this was very easy for you, and I was saying this was not easy at all for me to compile this list. I've got so many honorable mentions, it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, I love Janeway, but I don't think I love Janeway as much as you, because you have a deep connection with Janeway.
I do on so many levels. Yes, yes. I get knots in my back just like she does. I drink coffee like a fiend like she does. But I'm even prone to depression like Janeway is. You know, we have a lot in common. We worry about our hair. And I want all the good qualities from her. I'm working on that. I wish I could science like she did and things like that. Oh, you know, that'd be nice. I love science. I love to read about science, but I'm not very good at sciencing, if that makes any sense. But anyway, yes, I've got a very deep-seated connection. I mean, she was definitely a very, whether I realized it or not, she was an influential figure on me as an adolescent growing up while Voyager was airing. She just was. Like, behind my mom, Janeway and Kate Mulgrew were highly influential in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. Okay, I'm glad that you brought that up because some people kind of turn their nose to this and scoff at this. And I get it. I understand it. I really do. I really understand if you think this concept is ridiculous, but I don't. And that is that fictional characters can have just as much influence on our lives as historical ones.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I really do believe that. And I remember there was a South Park episode. There was a trilogy of episodes called Imagination Land.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Imagination.
Imagination. Sorry. But yeah, it's a great trilogy of episodes. And at the very end, you know, like Stan does his moral, you know, his moral speech like he always does at the end of the show. And he's talking about how, you know, like these people, like Aslan, Superman, Batman, you know, Harry Potter, all these people, they impact our lives so much because we spend so much time with them. Of course, they're going to alter our lives and change our lives and everything like that.
Absolutely.
It's just, I believe that. And some people who don't get it just go like, oh, that's pretty sad. No, it's not sad. It's awesome.
It is. I think when you do invest enough time into any franchise, whether it's Harry Potter or Star Trek or what have you, fictional characters can be just as real to you as actual people, especially if they're well written. And if you identify with them on some level, what's the difference, really?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like there's historical figures that are long dead. You know, like there's writers like, you know, like Mary Shelley. Say that Mary Shelley was a huge influence on your life. Well, she was a real person. She was a great author.
Frankenstein.
You've never met her. You know, you've never known her personally. So why is that any different than, you know, like saying that Batman has influenced my life? Now, you could say like the writers of Batman have influenced my life, but that's just splitting hairs.
Yeah, I think you make your point. I mean, I don't see much of a difference at all. And if you don't see why that is important or how it can be influential in a person's life, well, you just haven't found the right thing yet. That's my take on it. So, yeah, Janeway.
Yeah, let's do this marathon. So let's do this 5-episode marathon in a lazy Sunday afternoon. We're actually recording this on Sunday, so it's fitting.
It really is. Yeah, I am really tempted. If I didn't have other things I had to do today, I'd be really tempted to just, you know, once we're done here, head downstairs to the living room, you know, pick up a little more coffee and just sit down with Netflix and have a nice marathon. However, that's not the way my life is going. That'll have to save that for another time. I don't know about you, but I didn't do my episodes in any particular order. I don't necessarily have a sequence of events.
I do.
Okay, cool. This will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I usually do that with my marathon top fives because I feel like viewing order is very important to me. And these aren't necessarily temporal order. So I will give my explanation as I go.
Right on. Yeah, normally I have a sequence as well because I want to bridge it all together. But this one I have just so many choices that it's going to be impossible for me to string it all together. Tell me, my friend, what is your first pick? How are you going to kick off this Janeway marathon?
I kick off this Janeway marathon with badass Janeway.
Yes!
I want to establish, even though, like, this isn't for somebody who hasn't ever seen the show before, but I feel like when you begin a marathon like this, I want to start it off with just huge nerd cred where it's just like, boom, she's not just a captain, she's not just a science officer, she is also a badass. And so I'm starting with Macrocosm.
Very good. That is on my list as well.
So when Macrocosm, in case you guys don't remember, this is the episode where Janeway is away on an away mission. She comes back and she's with Neelix, right? She's with Neelix at
the time? That's right, yes.
So Neelix and her come back and realize that Voyager's adrift, they can't find anybody, and a virus has mutated and evolved on the ship. And so it's a virus that have grown to the size of like hawks, and they can fly around and attack you. And so she's stripped down into her tank top. She's got her plasma rifle, and she's got her knife like Rambo, and it's just awesome.
It is. This is a great like energy level episode. It's not a slow moving story by any means. It's got a lot of action, and it's kick ass Janeway kicking ass. Don't think, just watch her save the ship. That's all you've got to do. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah.
That's a great episode. It's on my pick as well because it's a different side of Janeway, and I'm glad we didn't get this every single week. That would get really boring. But I'm still glad we got this nevertheless, this one time. It's very good.
Yeah, she's not Kirk, nor should she be.
Right, exactly. But I'm glad that when Janeway's got to strip down and break out the compression phaser rifle, she knows what she's doing.
All right, so that's on your list too, and since you have no particular order, I guess I'll just go to my next one in my viewing order.
Go for it.
Next one is, this is going to be no surprise to anyone, and I almost didn't put it on the list because it's expected. People who listen to this show know that you and I are going to choose this episode because you have to watch it, and we are such shippers that you guys already know what episode I'm talking about.
Oh, boy. Well, guess what? It's on my list, too. We're predictable like that.
Yeah, of course it's on your list. It's Resolutions.
Yeah. How can you not have this on the list, though? Because it's got a lot of Janeway background info. And the thing is if we had only just seen her let go a little more and we had gotten to know Catherine better, because she's different from Captain Janeway, this would have been an even better episode, because that's what I like about, aside from their whole relationship or thing, but I love the fact that we get to learn about who this person is outside of the captain. When you strip that away, what is she? Who is she? And unfortunately, she spent most of the episode not giving up and trying to do whatever she could until the storm destroyed all hope of ever leaving the planet, until Voyager gets back and interrupts them so rudely. But had we gotten to know her a little more, that would have been fantastic. I mean, imagine.
Yeah, there's so many great things in this episode. And even just from a character perspective, like you said, we need to know who she would be, without the uniform, without the command. What kind of person is she? Because up until this moment, we haven't seen that. And, we of course get a much richer backstory because of Mosaic.
Yes, yes.
It shows that characterization, but you can't count that as canon, even though it's written by Jerry Taylor. So this really gives you a lot of her backstory, because maybe not in a factual sense, but of just how she would be at home or how she would be relaxing. And she talks with Chakotay a lot about her childhood and about her upbringing and what she likes and what she doesn't like and camping and whatnot.
Yeah.
So not only is this a great episode of the show, but it's also key to character growth and revealing character identity. And that's why it has to be on your marathon.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think any episode that has really good, solid background character info is at least a candidate, if nothing else. But Resolutions is so... it's such a Janeway episode. It has to be here. Sorry if that bores you to tears, because we've said it a million times, but we had to do it.
Had to do it. Yeah, we're breezing through this really fast because we're picking the same one.
I've got so many honorable mentions. We can drag this on till dawn. What's your next one?
My next one is Shattered.
Okay, also on my list, but as an honorable mention.
God dang it. my Delta Flyer just fell.
Dang it. Don't break the Delta Flyer. B'Elanna will be pissed.
We once described this episode as Shades of Grey done right.
Yes, exactly.
This is how you do a clip show without doing a clip show.
That's right.
For those of you who don't know what a clip show is, it's just watch Shades of Grey in season 2 of Next Generation. Or a lot of times sitcoms will do a clip show for their last episode, which I think is such a waste.
Yeah, ugh.
Where they'll have characters be like, oh man, we've had a lot of memories in this living room. And then they'll just have a clip after clip of a clip of ridiculous things happening in that living room. And then piano will play and they'll kind of look at each other lovingly and then they'll go to commercial. And with this one, Shattered, we see Chakotay initially go from time zone to time. Like, the ship is literally shattered into different time zones where he's, like, 15 years ago, or, like, 15 years in the future, 3 years before, 4 years before, 7 years before. Yeah. And he's able to go in and out of these time zones, and he actually kidnaps Janeway and takes her through them. And so we get to see quote-unquote clips from the show, you know, like we get to see Seven as Borg again, we get to see Seska again, but it's all in new situations. And it's really fun seeing Chakotay, who's much more seasoned, check out a Janeway from Endgame, or like the Endgame area, and they kind of reveal a little bit about their relationship, where Jane was like, well, what's the deal? I'm sensing some extreme sexual frustration between the two of us.
Right, totally. Just how close do we get? Yeah.
And Chakotay's like, well, there's some barriers we don't cross. And then the entire collective fandom just went, nope, not listening.
Yeah, la, 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 la. That did not happen. Poor Chakotay, he really, he's such a gentleman. He could have taken advantage of the situation in the one time he really could have and chose not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I like about Shattered is, from a Janeway perspective, it's that no matter what the situation, Janeway knows how to take charge and complete the mission. Because
yeah,
like you
true.
Said, it starts off with Chakotay, but really, by the end of it, Janeway's in command and she's leading this thing and she's telling everybody what to do to make this go off successfully. It's also kind of fun to ponder that if Janeway had learned about her travels in the Delta Quadrant before taking off, would she have still departed from Deep Space Nine? Perhaps not. Because she's really thinking this is not a great idea at all. I mean, the more Chakotay reveals to her, she's just thinking, oh my God, what have I gotten us all into? And then fortunately, Chakotay is there to let her know of the good things that have happened along the way. It's not all bad, but still, this it's kind of an interesting comparison, you know, a season 7 Janeway who's been through all this compared to a season 1 Janeway who has no idea what's going to happen. She's just, oh my God, yeah. No, let's not do this. Let's not say we did. It's very interesting. So again, another very good Catherine Janeway episode. And of course, yes, there is relationship or stuff and that line that did not happen. There's one thing that I want to bring up, and that is the latest Voyager novel by Kirsten Beyer has a little bit to do with the Catherine Janeway we saw from the displaced season 1 fragment in Shattered. And
really?
If you want to find out what happens to her, you have to read the novel.
Wow.
And it's very interesting the way Kirsten Beyer weaves this thing. I mean, I don't know how she came up with this, but it's brilliant.
Can I read, what's this new one called?
It's called A Pocket Full of Lies, and it was just released at the end of January.
Now, can I read this one without reading the previous ones, or do I need to read the previous ones first?
I'd say it's very helpful if you do read the previous ones, just so you know more of what's going on. There is a lot of continuity in here. However, if you just jump in, I bet you can piece enough together to figure out what's going on.
Okay. Here's the thing. I've been putting off since the end of the show, I've been putting off reading some of these Voyager novels. I think I only read the Homecoming novels.
Okay. So
those are the only two that I read.
So you kind of dropped off around what, 2003? Yeah, you've got some work to do, but just jump into Kirsten Beyer's novels. Start with Full Circle. That's what I recommend to everybody who wants to jump into the Voyager timeline and go from there.
So start with Full Circle and go from there. Okay, that's a good place to go.
Not only is Full Circle a great novel in and of itself, but it's also a very great starting point to find out what's happened with Voyager since they got home.
That's awesome. All right, so on this next one, I'm going to get made fun of hard. This one I know is not on your list.
Okay.
And so this is probably going to be the only time that we diverge. And this one, it's so funny, you know, making these lists, because we've talked about almost every single Voyager episode out there.
Well, that's what we do.
People who have been longtime listeners know our favorites. They know our proclivities. They know our leanings. They know what we love
right.
And what we don't love.
We have a rhythm, definitely.
We definitely have a rhythm. So when we make a marathon list, I'm sure the listeners at home are like, of course he's going to put this on his list because he's a loser and he doesn't like to surprise us. Number 4 on this list is Fairhaven.
Well, of course I knew you were going to put this on your list, and I will not make fun of you, but I left it alone just because I knew you were going to pick it. It is a Janeway episode. It very much has to do with her and this relationship that she starts with the hologram, and I don't entirely blame you.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, we talked about in Resolutions about how we get so much character building and how, you know, like we get some backstory and everything like that. And with Fairhaven, we get to explore a romantic entanglement outside of Chakotay. When we had the Kashyyyk guy, there wasn't any kind of seduction. You know, it was very much just like, oh, I'm attracted to you because of your intelligence, and so let's kiss, and that's weird, and that's all that it was. With Fairhaven, it's very much, it's meeting, it's flirtation, it's acceptance, it's struggle.
I got to stop you right there. It's acceptance after she changes his parameters.
Yes, I'm talking post-parameters, yes.
Oh, okay.
When they meet again on the bench and he's reading at the train station.
All right.
It's just, I love this episode and no one can tell me different. And I feel like this is a great Janeway. Not only is this just a great fun episode, this is a great Janeway episode.
It is. I mean, it is definitely something new for her. And it's something where if they're not going to give her an Alien of the Week and if they're not going to get her with Chakotay, by gosh, yeah, give her something. But unfortunately, they did give her the holodeck. But hey, I mean, something had to happen here with the poor lady. She's been alone for so long. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I'm not nearly as much of a fan of this episode as you are, but I see why you picked it, and it's not a bad Janeway episode. I mean, it's definitely an exploration, so I'm not going to make fun of you for it, but it's not on my list. No, it's not.
Well, if she can't have Chakotay and she can't have Mosh, then she's going to have to go for Michael.
If only we'd had Mosh.
You get to reveal a pick this time because
God! We've been talking for how many minutes, and this is the first time in this episode. Well, I kind of want to go with a fun one that is probably an obvious pick, but you got to go with Deadlock because you get two Janeways.
That's the last one on my list.
It's Janeway in Janeway saving the day. It's so good. It's Janeway being stubborn with herself. They have to make things work out, and it's a great episode. Just in general, it's a lot of fun. So that was an easy pick for me. That was one of the first things I put on my list was Deadlock.
Yeah, this one is, you know, when you're making a list about Janeway episodes, you can't leave out an episode where you get double the Janeway. I guess you can with Endgame, but...
I was just going to cut in and say, yeah, but you can, because I feel like of the Janeway and Janeway episodes, that being Deadlock and Endgame, I picked only one because it's the better of the two, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't have as many problems with Endgame as you do, but Deadlock is by far the superior episode.
Oh, yeah, it's solid.
Solid sci-fi story, great character development. We get to see Badass Janeway again. That's why I put it at the end of the marathon, because I wanted to start with Badass Janeway, have a little relationship stuff, you know, have Shattered in between where it's just a great sci-fi episode, have some more relationship stuff, and then end with Badass. I feel like it's a nice Janeway sandwich.
Janeway sandwich. I like
layers
it.
Layers upon layers. It's like a ring epic. You know, like we start and end in the same place, and then looking at that, yeah, now it does kind of work. Resolutions in Fairhaven, and then in between you have something different.
Absolutely. It really is a Janeway sandwich. That's very perfectly done. That's a very good rhythm. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So what's your last one?
Well, my last one, I think I might get a little bit of grief from you. Workforce, part one.
Oh my god.
I know. Hey, I did not make fun of Fairhaven.
That's because Fairhaven's good and Workforce is boring.
Oh, bite me. I have nothing further to say on that front, sir. No, you know how we were talking earlier about how in Resolutions, when you strip away the captain, what happens? Mm-hmm. Well, this is what Workforce is, and this is the part of Workforce that I like. You strip away the captain and the baggage that includes, and we have a Catherine who is a freer spirit, someone who's a little more on her sensual side. She's sexy. She's more willing to have fun and kind of go off on a whim. And yet all the good things about Captain Janeway are still in place. I mean, her intelligence, her compassion, her loyalty, it's all there. We learn a little bit more about who she would be without the captaincy. That's what I like about it, so suck it.
Are you counting Workforce as one episode?
I mean, I could. But really, I'm just talking Workforce Part 1 because that's where we really establish what Catherine Janeway would be like without Voyager.
I can't agree with you on this one.
I know. I well, bite me. I've got so many honorable mentions. I'm bound to please you somehow.
This one is just, I can't stand these episodes.
I know. And they're not a favorite. I understand. It was actually a tie between Workforce and Caretaker. But we've talked about Caretaker so much, I'm just thinking, we're a broken record here.
Oh, Caretaker would be a great episode to end on because you end where you began.
The Boom. Beginning of the end, something like that. Well, something we do learn a lot about who Janeway is as a captain in Caretaker. It's like the reverse of Workforce. We learn what type of captain she is, her leadership style. We learn about her willingness to give people second chances, a la Tom Paris. And personally, we know she has her family and Mark and a forthcoming litter of puppies that she chooses to leave behind because she won't allow the Kazon to take over the Okapa. What?
I love that that's in your list of reasons, of, like, of why she should have stayed.
Puppies! Stay for the puppies!
That's hysterical.
Well, it is on my list. Yes, it
let's
is.
Let's go to some honorable mentions. I only have two.
Okay, what is your first one?
My first one is Killing Game.
Oh, okay. Good choice.
Because I think, you know, like, even though it's not Janeway being Janeway, you know, we get to see Jane was somebody else. You know, we get to see Kate Mulgrew. So that's why I didn't put it in my main list and just as an honorable mention, because this is a great episode. It's a great Janeway, getting to see Kate Mulgrew play somebody other than Janeway episode. But then if you go into part two, you know, you have something that's, you get Janeway and, you know, her using her cunning to escape the Nazi aliens. And so, yeah, that's why it's an honorable mentions and not on the list.
Right. That's why I have 1159 on my honorable mentions, among many others, because of the same exact reason. It's not Janeway. It's an ancestor of Janeway. Mm-hmm. So not quite the same thing and yet important. Okay. Well, I think one thing is very important to add to this list, and that's Coda. It's a lot of background info.
Yeah.
It is very much a Janeway story, but overall, it's not necessarily a good episode. I mean, I feel like there's better choices.
We've talked about this several times before about how Coda's importance is greater than its quality.
Yeah, and it's just because Jerry Taylor wrote it and integrated so much of what she put into Mosaic in this episode.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, and that's why it's worthwhile. That's why it's beneficial. And so, you know, Char and I aren't trying to sneak anything by. It's just there's a lot of content in Coda that's worth watching, even if the episode's a little meh.
Exactly. Okay, what's your other honorable mention?
My other mention is Year of Hell.
Okay, that's on mine as well. Time's up!
Because with this one, we get to see Janeway make the tough decisions. I mean, like, out of all of the captains, I feel like Janeway has had some of the toughest decisions to make. And she has pulled it off with grace, and Year of Hell was no different. And she literally walked through fire for Voyager and the Voyager crew.
Yes.
And this shows you so much of who she is. Like, when the chips are down, when everybody's running away, she's the one who's running towards the danger.
Yeah, this is gung-ho Janeway on an extreme level. Like, pressure is really on here. She is so incredibly sacrificing and so focused on survival. I mean, you learn a lot about what she's made of. And she goes down with the ship and manages to save the day. I mean, it's such a great, strong Voyager. Or it's such a great, strong Janeway episode. It has to be on the list, too. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, do you have any more? Because that's all that I have.
I have more. We'll go through them quickly. Bride of Chaotica, because Janeway hams it up as Queen Arachnia, and that's fun.
I didn't even think about that. That's I honored. Yeah, that's so great. I don't know why. I mean,
it's completely almost against her will. She really doesn't want to do it, and yet when she commits, boy, she knows how to make it happen. So that's got to be on my list. Also, got to be on my list, the Thaw. I know it's not a very Janeway-esque episode, but Janeway defeats fear. Nuff said. I know it's not your favorite, so we'll move on. Then I have kind of a pair, and I thought this is kind of like a double date or no date, as Tom Paris would say. And that would be Death Wish and Q in the Grey, back to back.
Good choice. Good choice.
Yeah, because these are both very much having to do with Janeway. And I have more fun watching Q in the Grey. It's kind of a funner, funnier episode. But the storytelling is better in Death Wish, and Janeway is superb in both in different ways.
Yeah.
But I feel like you couldn't have one without the other, and I didn't want to take up two slots for just Q episodes on a 5-episode marathon. And that's why they became honorable mentions, despite how much I love those both of those episodes. Okay. And then I have two more, and then I'm done.
Oh, jeez.
I told you I had
kidding.
A lot.
Yeah.
How about Night, where we have the exploration of Janeway's depression a little bit? That's very important. But then also Persistence of Vision. Again, not a very good episode, and it's not necessarily just about Janeway, but it's an interesting exploration of Janeway's loneliness. And it's so perfectly timed. It's sort of like midway through season two, where I'm sure it's just starting to take its toll on her, where she really misses Mark. The puppies have been born. She knows that they're out there, and she's not going to see them. She may never see them. And she's kind of trying to deal with that, and she, you know, picks up the photo of Mark, stares at it for a second, and sighs. So it's an interesting placed episode, and I feel like it does explore something that I really wish we would have actually done more of, because that felt very real, despite the fact that it's not a entirely great episode overall. And also, It's not a perfect Janeway episode either. Like, I don't like how they portray her in the beginning, where she's so stressed out for a first contact situation. That's like second nature to her. That's a daily basis in the Delta Quadrant. Why now is that such a big freaking deal? I didn't quite get that, but there are some interesting things here.
We also get a miniature doctor in that episode. So there you go. There's reason enough right there.
You know, yeah. I mean, if anything, watch the first 5 minutes and see that and enjoy it, laugh and move on.
All right. Well, before we wrap up and before we move on to our normal closing procedures, I would like to mention what we're doing next week first for those of you who skip the end of the episode once we finish our topic.
Yeah, and shame on you.
And shame on you. Next week, we're doing another To the Journey AMA. AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. Now, we made you aware of this last week, and we want you guys to ask us any question you want. And we will answer on the air. We'll choose the best ones, and you can submit them through the Babel Conference on Facebook. You can email us by going to trek.fm/contact, and you can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin.
And you can find me at Oh The Profanity.
So we're going to be recording that next week, so we'll try to curate your... by the time this drops, you only have a couple of days before we record. So if you're thinking about a question, make sure to get right on it and send it on our way.
Also, I want to point out we will accept one question per person so that everybody has a good chance of getting their question answered. Because last time we had multiple questions from a lot of the same people and we did not get all the questions answered. I want to give everybody a fair shot. So that those are the new rules for round two.
All right. And so we're definitely looking forward to what you guys have to ask. And I think it'll be a lot of fun recording next week.
I think so, too. We had a great time with the first round and I see why this one will be no different. So get your questions in and we really look forward to that. So Janeway marathons aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
Geordi is the one that's like, you know what? No, you're wrong. You're wrong about Data.
I'm going to drop a challenge right here, and Data's totally going to step up to the plate, and you're going to get served, Plasky.
And that's how LaForge created Moriarty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it turned out good, but I mean, he had good intentions.
The Orb.
The Wadi, a fun-loving race from the Gamma Quadrant, arrive at DS9 eager to play a game with Sisko and the crew, one that appears to be a matter of life and death. All right, so are we moving along, Matthew?
Oh, we're moving along.
Is there any redeeming value?
The Ready Room.
He's carrying in the lamb chop sock puppet, saying, "She stayed at her post."
While Charlie Horse ran.
While Charlie Horse ran.
To the Journey!
It feels like I just won an Oscar and an Emmy and a Tony. all at the same time, and a People's Choice Award, and a Nickelodeon Award.
Dang.
So, yeah.
So not quite an EGOT, but close. Commentary, Trek Stars.
I haven't seen Mean Girls.
You haven't seen Mean Girls.
I know. Everybody wants me to see Mean Girls.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you have to see Mean Girls. I mean, after Josie and the Pussycats, though.
Oh, how could I forget Josie and the Pussycats?
The 602 Club.
I actually like when they bring in the big container for the brain fish at the beginning.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and it
opens
mysterious.
Up and it's, you know, speaking through the...
And all the minions that have to mop up after it at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Although it's like a slug trail.
You can actually see one of the guys while he's talking kind of wandering around mopping up. I was like, what is that guy doing?
Literary Treks.
You're totally right that when Atonement was done, I really did feel like everybody needed a break.
Like a Kit Kat bar?
There wouldn't be challenges and obstacles and things, but I wanted the next sort of series of adventures that they faced for a while to be more infused with the sense of wonder that sort of underpins all of Trek.
Women at Warp.
AF, which are the initials that Picard carved into Boothby's tree back on Starfleet Academy, and that is how he met Boothby the groundskeeper.
Well, we never did learn Boothby's first and second name, did we? It was all a ploy to get to hang out with Boothby.
Meta Treks.
If I look at the Abramsverse now, having talked it out, it seems like they're both an alternate timeline and an alternate reality at the same time. Not every sense of alternate timeline, not every sense of alternate reality, but there's at least one sense in which they overlap, and you can say you can have your cake and eat it too, and the Abramsverse is both at the same time.
Melodic Treks.
I wanted something for the course, you know, a phrase describing them, which is amazing. And I wanted to use a different word for that, for amazing. And in this case, I sought out the African Swahili word, Kushengeza, which is an actual word that means amazing.
And introducing Saturday Morning Trek, a show about the animated series and all things Trek in the 1970s.
Chekhov was in the first season, but he was working on the third deck behind the boiler room and was ill with a condition called Malaprovsky's malady, which is a kind of 23rd century version of Montezuma's revenge, and was hidden in the bathroom, ensconced there for hours and hours, while poor Mr. Khan's genetically engineered kidneys about to explode pounded pitifully on the door, begging to be let in, until finally the door opens, Chekhov steps out, Khan looks at him and says, "Your face, I remember."
That's the best explanation I've ever heard.
you get the idea that I've told this story before.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have so many new things coming to you in terms of Trek Talk every single day. Nowadays, it's more than one podcast dropping every single day, and that's pretty incredible. None of it is possible without the help of you on Patreon. We're a listener-supported network. We rely entirely on donations from our listeners to keep us going for the storage, the bandwidth, the distribution. It all costs, and you make it happen. So if you haven't gone to patreon.com/trekfm, check it out. We've got multiple levels of contribution, and the perks vary depending on that level. And so if you can help us out, if you got a little bit of spare change, we would love to put it to work. Everything that you give to us goes straight into the network. And we really want to thank on TTJ, our associate producers, Jamie Deuce, Aaron Harvey, Bruce Lish, and Kenneth Tripp. We also have a new associate producer, and that person is Dante Hopkins. So thank you, Dante, for supporting TTJ as an associate producer.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome aboard. He's written into us many times. Very cool dude. So thank you very much. All right. Another way that you can help us is by writing us a review on iTunes. That costs you nothing, but it helps us out a lot. So if you haven't written us a review, take 5 minutes of your time. It helps us out greatly in terms of other people finding the show. So please, please, please do that. If you're kind and generous enough to give us 5 stars and a written review, we will give you a shout out on the show. So keep that in mind. Now, we have wrapped up a Janeway marathon. We're doing the AMA next week, so I don't need to ask you what we're doing next week. We're done with the show.
We're done with the show. So everyone, submit your questions and tune in next week to get answers. But until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!